AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Yo, yo, yo. Check 1, 2, 1, 2. Hello and welcome to Hybrid, powered by Qingxi Media. We are back again. Right. Every word from Mikel Arteta's pre-Fulham presser. Mikel Arteta has been speaking to the press ahead of our trip to Fulham in the Premier League tomorrow. Our boss spoke about facing the Cottagers, returning from the international break, and much more at his press conference at the Sober Realty Training Centre. Bow! On Martin Odegaard's fitness, it will be weeks. No definite date for his return, but he's evolving well. Very unlucky. What's happening with him and his injuries this season? But yeah, I think he'll be back in a few weeks. Yeah, it's a shame that Martin Odegaard, our captain's gone down three times this season, all in the first half, which is an unwanted record. However, on the other side of the coin, it gives opportunities to the likes of Eberechi Eze, Max Dalman, and obviously Ethan Wanyeri, who will be looking to kind of seize the initiative, seize their opportunity, as there's a space in the team potentially for one or two of those three to thrive in the coming weeks. On when he might return to action, it could be after the next international break, but we'll have to see how he progresses, how the knee's healing, how he manages after the next steps in his rehab. So too early to give an answer. Well, one thing's for sure, Martin Odegaard's started his football career really young, so he's probably 9-10 years into his career. It's a shame that he's going down, you know. I don't know if his body's breaking down on him, but one thing we don't want to do is rush him back. One thing we don't need to do is rush him back. We've got the aforementioned players that can come and step in his absence. So the thing we need to do is make sure he takes the requisite amount of time out, get his rehab on point, get him super, super fit. And if it means taking another 1, 2, 3 weeks to a month off to make sure he's back and raring to go so he doesn't break down when he does return, then so be it, because we've got enough depth to cover his absence, that's for sure. On why Martin Zubimendi didn't train yesterday. Yeah, all the players come from different countries, different amounts of games and minutes played, and we believe that it was the right thing to do. He played two games again. His load has been really high recently and he needed an extra day. He will be available. Okay, that's very telling. That's interesting. Is that a hint to say that Martin Zubimendi may not play tomorrow? Sorry, may not start tomorrow? And obviously he'll come in for the Atletico game on the Tuesday, a team who would be well-versed against. So obviously he's formerly of Real Sociedad, so he's well-used to playing against Atletico Madrid. So does that mean now that Declan Rice will play in a holding role with someone like Marino or Wanyeri coming in to replace the likes of Odegaard and Zubimendi? I think that statement from Arteta is quite telling. So yeah, for me, if I was to make a predicted lineup based on that statement, I reckon Declan Rice will drop in and he'll bring in probably Marino, who's scored another 2 goals for Spain in midweek. On Ben White's fitness, yes, very similar. We are monitoring all the players and give a specific menu to each of them to make sure that they are in the best condition. Yeah, Ben White's obviously not had the best 18 months to 2 years. Obviously, Julian Timber's come in and just hit the ground running after his return from injury. But Ben White, I think he's another one that just needs to kind of take some time out, get himself properly fit. So when he is back, he is, you know, unlikely to go down again. However, the only thing is the match fitness problem. And now, it means that the games he does come in, he may be rusty because Jurrien Timber's played so well in his absence. Where is he going to get the match fitness? That's the dilemma. On Piero Hincapié being back in training, yeah, he will be training today again with us, and if everything is right, he will be available as well. Yeah, I mean, Piero is a player similar to Ricardo Calafiori, as I mentioned quite a few times. But the thing is, we've got Miles Lewis-Skelly waiting in the wings, and it would surprise me if Miles actually started tomorrow with Ricardo coming in on Tuesday or vice versa. So with Piero, it'll be interesting to see if he does come on, where he plays, because he could also play centre-back. So yeah, we've got so much, we're brimming with so much quality. We don't actually necessarily need Piero for the next few games, but I think the Brighton game will be a good opportunity for him to start. On Piero now getting a chance to play regularly, yeah, we really want that. He's that player that is going to help us a lot. He's going to bring something different to the team. We need to get him going, get to the speed that is necessary to compete at this level and gradually get him to where we want. Bring something different to the team. Elaborate, Mikel, because I think he's very similar to Ricardo Calafiori in the sense that he's got a lot of pace. He's really robust in the challenge. He can play left back, centre back. He's a goal threat. He's efficient with his passing. You know, he's a fantastic player. I've seen him play. In fact, on the channel, there's actually footage of him scoring an outrageous goal for Ecuador. So I'm not sure what it means by that, but I think he is someone that can provide us additional quality to what we already do have. On how Noni Madueke is getting on. If you know, you know. Getting closer as well. He's going to start very soon to do some running and stuff. And then again, let's see how that reacts. Okay, so it doesn't really sound like he's going to be ready for tomorrow. Although that could just be mind game. You might see him on the bench. But one thing's for sure, I don't think Noni's ready to start. On Kai Havertz's recovery, again, very difficult. There's still a lot to do in his rehab. He's really pushing it. We know Kai, and that's why we love him so much. But we have to wait and see. I think we are doing a really good work with him. Again, he wants to break every timeline, I'm sure. But that's why we have to protect him and make sure that when he does come back, he comes back for the long term. Yeah, just like I alluded to for Odegaard and Ben White, where we don't want to rush him back. We want him to come back and he's super fit, raring to go, and just hits the ground running. I've heard a few theories on the fact that Kai Havertz not being fit is to Victor Gyökeres's detriment. However, I think the opposite, because I believe that Gyökeres is probably struggling with confidence right now. So, however, if he's now taken out the team, that will hit his confidence even more. Whereas, at least now he knows he's going to be starting every game. So, the opportunity is there that he can keep trying to score goals, knowing that he'll still be in the team. Because I want his confidence as high as possible, because if it drops, then it means he starts to doubt himself and he might not get to that 20-goal target which most Arsenal fans want and expect him to reach. On being one of the longest-serving Premier League managers, well, very privileged and grateful as always, and to be present on the day because we know that our job is the only thing that requires it. Yeah, I think he's, off the top of my head, I think he's second or third longest serving. Probably behind Pep Guardiola. And there's probably another guy off the top of my head. But, yeah, I mean, for you to be in a job for 3 years plus, in a managerial job for 3 years plus these days, means you're doing something right because it's changed. You know, the climate's changed in probably the last 10 years or so where now the pressure is immense. You know, people like Ange Postecoglou have been in situ for, like, probably about a month and a bit. and they're already under real pressure. I mean, if I was to look at the bookies, I wouldn't be surprised if he was the favourite to be the next manager to be fired, considering they've got teams like Chelsea and Manchester United imminently coming up. So, yeah, it's a crazy industry, the football managerial one. And for Mikel to have been in position for what, 6-7 years now, means he's doing something right. But I think it's coming to a head now, where like this is the season where it has to click, and I'm sure it will. On getting a win at Fulham for the first time since 2023. Yeah, Newcastle is a good example. West Ham as well. In the last two seasons as well, we lost against them at home. So that's an opportunity tomorrow. We know that it's really tough place to go. A very well-coached team, and we're going to have to be at our best tomorrow. He missed out to win, but that's what he meant. But to be honest, I mean, a lot of people are trying to like make out that our record against Fulham is a bit abysmal, but it's not, because if you actually go beyond those last 2 years, so what I will say is, with the exception of the last 2 years, our record against Fulham is pretty much flawless. Go back 10, 12 years and you'll see what I mean. I'm pretty sure, this is off the top of my head, but Fulham, I think we won about 10 straight games against Fulham without conceding, or just won 10 straight games against Fulham, and that's home and away. So, whereas they did manage to beat us 2 years ago, 2-1, and then we went on that famous run where we only lost to Aston Villa and drew with Man City in our remaining games. But that still wasn't enough for us to win the league. And then last season, Fulham, we played them at Craven Cottage. I remember this game. It stuck out like a sore thumb to me. We played them at Craven Cottage. They played a 5-4-1 formation, which shocked me. And they went 1-0 up, I think. I'm pretty sure they went 1-0 up. Then we equalised and we dominated the whole game. Literally had the ball off, and they were just defending. They low-blocked us. Then Martinelli scored what I thought was the winner, but it was ruled out for offside. But honestly, I'm sure we had about 80% possession. And this is against a Fulham side who are rated up until that point as a team that actually take the game to sides. But for them to now change their normal style of play against us, that's, you can argue that's a backhanded compliment. However, I expect more of the same tomorrow, because we're an even better side than we were last season. Okay, on our defensive record, well, that's a platform to build performances and results, that's for sure. We want to consistently be able to defend at that level. In order to do that is how well we attack and how committed everybody is to do what we have to do. And if we continue to do that, it's going to give us a big chance to get what we want, which is a win. So yeah, we've currently only conceded 3 Premier League goals, in addition to two clean sheets in the Champions League, and I'm pretty sure a clean sheet against Port Vale. So the only sides that have scored against us this season are, off the top of my head, Liverpool, Manchester City, and another one. But what I will say is, we've got a top defence. People like Timber, William Saliba, and Gabriel. And even if you add Calafiori or Lewis Skelly, that is a solid defence. So, which means there should be less emphasis on having a defensive-minded midfield. I think there should be more emphasis of having a more attacking-minded midfield, especially against sides that Fulham, who are going to pay us a lot of respect and play a low block against us and defend their box with probably 8-9 men around their box. I expect us to have a lot of the ball tomorrow, I expect us to have about 60 to 65% of the ball tomorrow, but it's what we do with it, how we use it, how fast we move that ball. And people like Eze, Wanyeri, Saka will be very important in that type of game. On the confidence our defensive record gives the full team, yes, for sure. And as well, I think it tells about the organisation of the team. Yeah, the other, but it was bugging me. The other team that scored against us was Newcastle. So effectively, the only sides that have scored against us are three of the top five. On the confidence our defensive record gives the full team, yes, for sure. And as well, I think it tells about the organisation of the team and the consistency that we are showing in many aspects. And the more we do those things in a lot of parameters throughout the season and we establish ourselves in those categories at the highest level, the bigger the chance will be to achieve what we want, for sure. I think he's essentially saying, just to summarise that, the less goals we concede, the more of a chance we have to win. If we keep a clean sheet, we're invariably going to score and we're invariably going to win. Let's summarise that. On a leadership group within the club, well, it makes me proud, not only here, but with the national team. Every time I talk to the national team coaches, the way they talk about our players and the roles that they have been given in the last few years as well, that tells you the leadership, the accountability, and how much they trust them. And yeah, Martin is out, but we have various kinds of leaders in the team now that they have. They have the ownership and accountability to deliver what is required. And Martin will continue to have a role, whether he's not playing as well, to push and to support and to keep the demands high in the team. Yeah, I mean, people like Declan Rice, Gabriel, they're the names that always pop up when people say, oh, who should be the Arsenal captain? But I think don't underestimate Bukayo Saka's role in that team. As I always bang on about in these podcasts, Saka is the most respected player in that squad. I'll say it again. Bukayo Saka is the most respected Arsenal player in that squad. So don't let that go amiss. For a captain to have the respect of the whole squad, that's the most important thing. I do think Odegaard's a great captain in his own way. He's got great experiences. He's got a great way about him. So, and then also, if you couple with Gabriel's kind of leader of men, his relentless and willing, unwavering attitude, you know, he's desperate to win. He's going to put his head where it hurts, where no one else will. He reminds me of like a cross between Nemanja Vidic and John Terry. And then you've got, obviously, Declan Rice, who is an unbelievable player, my favourite Arsenal player, may I add. Natural leader, you know, led West Ham to their first piece of silverware in a generation, 40-odd years. So we have four unbelievable leaders, and there's many more. There are many more. I believe that Miles Lewis-Skelly is another one coming up as well. And then you got people like David Raya, who's growing in prominence as well. People like Jurrien Timber. So, yeah, that squad has a lot of leaders in it. On his relationship with LA Rams head coach Sean McVay, I do, and Sean is someone that I admire a lot, not only for what he's achieved as well, but the way he is as a coach, as a person, the way he presents himself, and I learn a lot of things from him. So, yeah, we'll be connected. It's going to be a really tight schedule for both teams because we have the Champions League after coming up on Tuesday. But it's great to have them. It's great to have Stan and Josh here as well with us. I think it's a good opportunity as well to connect everybody. Well, don't know too much about the LA Rams. I don't even know if it's baseball or hockey or basketball or whatnot. So I'm just going to swerve. On if he prefers being top or chasing the leaders in the Premier League, I prefer to win every game. The only thing that we can do is perform really well on Saturday and win the game. As you said, it's super early. It's not the moment to start looking at that. It's more the moment now to look at performances, to look at ways that we can sustain certain things that we're doing and improve others. And that's the only way. And that increases the chances when it matters, when it comes to March and April, to be in the best possible position. And then when you ask me that question, I will tell you for sure, I want to be at the top. Well, I mean, in previous years, or you could say traditionally, in quotation marks, Arsenal don't really fare well when they're at the top. They don't really fare well when the pressure moments come. We've had a few pressure moments this season, namely the Newcastle game where we really had to win that game. And we took that opportunity. So Right now, we're at the top by a point or two, but we have an opportunity to actually extend that lead. Well, given give or take what Tottenham, Man City and Liverpool do over this weekend, it'll be interesting to see to what extent we are ahead or to what extent we are situated in the top positions. On the biggest positives from the first 10 games, a lot of things. There have been two very different blocks. In the second block, because of some issues that we have, we had to increase our availability in the squad. That was one of the main things to do. The impact that anybody could have in the game, whether he was playing or finishing, he wasn't even in the squad. I think we did that really, really well. And then we had a few things that we wanted: to be more unpredictable, to threaten the opposition more, to be super consistent in all the defensive aspects of the game as well. And we've gone to a different level. And after that, in the next block, can we sustain a lot of things and increase others? That's the objective. Well, we've had a lot of tough games, that's for sure. We've won pretty much all of them, with the exception of Man City and Liverpool, who were the top three with us last season. However, now we enter a little phase where we've got teams like Crystal Palace, Fulham, who have taken points off us in recent years, and then promoted Burnley and Sunderland. So now, if we can get those two wins against Crystal Palace and Fulham, you know, tricky games against mid-table sides, then that will propel us to think we can expect to get maximum points against those two promoted sides, especially against Sunderland, who've actually started the season well. But I personally feel like they're going to run out of steam going forward. On Gabriel Martinelli's form for club and country, he's doing what we expect from everybody to do. When he's got the minutes, the opportunity to deliver and to impact the game, and especially the results, and then his attitude overall, his behaviour, the way he trains, the way he carries himself, his willingness to learn constantly. There are many examples throughout the team, but very pleased to see Gabby going to the national team again and scoring and performing well. That's all good signs, because when they come back, their spirit is good, their confidence is good, so everything is easier. Yeah, I feel like Martinelli's actually played himself to a bit of form now. He's one of our top scorers, if not our top scorer, 3 or 4 goals already this season. But he just needs to keep his head down, keep going. I think the fans respect the fact that he was, you know, he was toiling in recent months, but he's got his head down, not giving up, not sulked. Came on when he needed to, scored the goals, started, scored the goals, scored important goals, you know, against Bilbao, against Man City. So for me, he's probably played himself into the team for tomorrow, but in recent games, he's shocked me and gone with Trossard. So now that I'm expecting him to go with Trossard, he'll probably shock me again and go with Martinelli tomorrow. But we'll see. On Declan Rice's performances this season, yeah, I think he's adapting to the qualities that we have, and as well certain chemistry, a certain relationship that you notice. And with 8 new players in the squad, different things emerge. Okay, so that's a lot of waffling from Arteta. So basically, let me just tell you what he means. Okay, Declan Rice hasn't really been at his best, but he's adapting to people like Zubimendi, Eze. But as they play more and more together, I feel he's going to improve. Just like last season, he didn't start the first half of the season too well. But come the second half of the season, he was unbelievable, unreal. And I think it's going to be a bit similar this season. On what Victor Gyökeres gives to the team, he brings so much to the team, and watching the games back, I'm very pleased with what he's given to the team. I told him before the first meeting, I said that 9 that I want is a 9 that when he doesn't score for 6 or 8 games, he can handle that. If not, you have to go somewhere else, because the pressure is gone. The expectation is going to be there. So if you put a number 9 shirt on for Arsenal, you have to be able to say, okay, 6 games, don't score, I'm a different player. I start to act in a different way. I want much more of the same of what he's doing. Once we have those opportunities, put them in. and I'm sure that's going to happen. Well, I mean, it's been interesting because Victor Gyökeres started the season with a few goals, but you could argue he didn't really play well in those games. Now it's been the polar opposite, where he's played well but not put the ball in the back of the net. But what you want is probably something in between. You want goals. Well, ideally you want goals, but if you're not going to get goals like that, then you probably want something in between. I think Gyökeres just needs to keep being in positions to miss those chances, keep taking chances, keep taking shots, and law of averages will determine that he will score. In those four games you have coming up, you probably want about two or three goals from those. Surely one at least. But ideally you want two or three goals from those block of Premier League games coming up. So what would be nice for him is to start off with a goal, especially away from home at Craven Cottage. On a left-footed players v right-footed players in the squad, it's good. It's a really good balance. It's a very rare thing that we have, and we have thought about it a lot, but it's a coincidence. Certain things, because, for example, our three academy graduates, three of them are left-footed. Yeah, Max Dalman, Ethan Wanyeri, and Miles Lewis-Skelly. Interesting. That's quite rare. I have three sons, two of them are left-footed. Quite rare as well. But yeah, they are beautiful to watch, that's certain. And they give you something different. Yeah, it's interesting. We probably have, off the top of my head, we've probably got 10 to 12 left-footed players. You know, that's a very interesting dynamic. You know, let me try and name them all. Or try and name quite a few. So we've obviously got Gabriel, Ricardo Calafiori, Piero Hincapié, Miles Lewis-Skelly, Ethan Wanyeri, Bukayo Saka, Noni Madueke, Kai Havertz, and yeah, probably a few more. So that's just, it's insane amount of left-footed players. I've never seen anything like it. I'm never playing home games abroad. I don't decide that. So for me to say never, I don't want to use that word. Let's see if there are other people who have to decide that. If you tell me what you prefer with the schedule that we have, let's play as many games as possible in London, please. Well, you'll be happy to know, guys, that effectively all our games this month, if not all of them, will be in London. Although we play Slavia Prague away, but yeah. On the scouting of Victor Gyökeres and the qualities he brings. Going back in his history as well with Victor, it's a very different one. The beginning, when he wasn't even playing much, and then how he evolved his career. Then in the last year, it was very difficult to find a gap like that, because I think he scored in every single match almost. But just preparing something, the context is going to change. It's part of football. You see the history of the number nines, you're going to have moments like that. Hopefully it's through playing, not that you're injured. So his robustness is something that's really good. I'm really happy with him. Full confidence, and when you look at him every single day, how much he wants it, that's exactly what you expect. Okay, I mean, should Saka have given him that penalty so he can, you know, end that goal draw? Don't know, you tell me. But I think Victor's a player that he hates not scoring. You could see it. He's he puts pressure on himself first and foremost. So the pressure coming from outside is not going to topple the pressure he puts on himself. However, I fear for him though. If he doesn't score tomorrow, it's just going to build tenfold, because it's like we're going to be up against a rigid, robust defence in Atletico Madrid on Tuesday. So if you're not scoring against Fulham, it's going to be 10 times tougher against Atletico de Madrid. On how he judges Victor's all-round game, well, the first thing is that that's going to give you something extra. Victor has so many things that are probably not that noticeable. Okay. But he also creates an environment and space and solutions for a lot of the players around him. And with that talent that we have in the team, I'm sure that everybody, including him, will benefit from that. Yeah, that's true. I mean, I feel like people like Martinelli and Bukayo Saka, Noni Madueke, Trossard will benefit from the fact that Victor will probably occupy two or three defenders, which means that you cannot double up on necessarily Saka or Eze, who will just absolutely thrive on the space that they now have because people like Gyökeres are occupying defenders. So it's just a case of if we move the ball fast, then if you double up on a certain player, for instance, Bukayo Saka, we can now give the ball to Eze and he has more space. And if you now double up on Eze, then obviously there's a spare man, someone like a Trossard, Martinelli or Gyökeres, who has less obstructions to go. So the better players you have across the side, the harder it is to kind of neutralise their qualities because you can't double up on them because there'll be a spare man elsewhere in the team. On switching players to different positions during matches, I think having that unpredictability and that flexibility can add a lot of value. It's true that you need certain consistencies as well in certain positions, and not all the players are that naturally confident or comfortable to adapt to a different position. But some of them did, and they did really well. But it's just finding when it is the right moment and the right time in the game to make those changes, and then it has to work. Yeah, I mean, pretty much all the players that we have. And before the Olympiacos game, I would have said, with the exception of Saka, who I think can only really play on the right, can play one or two positions. I think Trossard can play as a false nine and on the left. Martinelli could play as a centre forward and on the left. He could do a job on the right, but I don't like him there. Eze surprised me because it looks like he kind of play on the right of a three, as well as on the left of a three, as well as on the left wing. But we all know that his best position is behind the centre forward. And then obviously Saka's played on the left for that little period against Olympiacos and looked all right there. So it's good to see that we're now flexible and changing things up, because over the last 2-3 years, we did become a little bit predictable. On if that's something he wanted to do for a while, you have to feel that now they are ready to do it, because different positions have different requirements physically, emotionally, in relation to the game plan. You change a player 2 or 3 times in the position in the game, which means that he needs to fulfill 3 roles in all aspects of the game. That's a lot of information to process for a player. And some players are more confident and more comfortable than others to do that. Yeah, I mean, I think the classic example of that is Noni Madueke, where when you play him on the left, he's a bit so-so. Does his best, but you can tell it neutralizes his strengths. Whereas on the right wing now, it's a completely different proposition. You know, probably the best at beating a fullback easily. You know, it's just now when you do that, it's about getting that delivery perfect for people like Gyökeres, or even getting a shot off as well. Maybe being more unpredictable when they're expecting you to cut in on your left foot. Maybe take it down the right, cross it with your right, you know, something that Saka does. But it's good to have that flexibility, and players ideally, you know, being able to play in different positions. On if he spoke to Xabi Alonso about Piero before signing him. Yes, for sure, I had to. I mean, someone like him that I know so well, trust him and had him for a few years, it's a very, very valuable information to have. He was super complimentary of him for many different reasons, and it was good to confirm what I saw. And some of the things that you obviously learned from that conversation that you probably weren't very aware of. Okay, interesting. Yeah, I mean, Piero Hincapié is a very young player, actually. Plays for an Ecuador team that are doing really well, and there's got something going on there with that Ecuador team. People like Caicedo and Hincapié, just to name a few, tells you that, okay, that's a team that's pretty decent. On preparations for Fulham after not winning there on the past 2 visits. Well, you always learn from that. It's true that at the end, they will have certain new players, the state of the teams and where we are. It is different to last season as well. And then the game, the context of the game changes, especially last year. Immediately when we are in total control of the game, and at one moment we concede the goal. and then it's a very different game to be played. But we learn from it. Obviously, we want to make it different, especially the results that we have had in the last few years, and do our best to achieve it. Yeah, I would say the game is probably exactly the same as the Newcastle game that we had a few weeks ago, except we didn't win it, or we thought we did. But yeah, like Mikel said, we dominated the game. They scored out of nothing with their literally only first attack of the game through Raul Jimenez. And then they retreat into a 5-4-1 solid block. We were struggling. We do equalise. And then we just could not break them down. And when we thought we did, it was ruled out for offside. So I think the key to that is don't concede first, because that makes the job a lot harder. On the development of Mikel Merino's goal-scoring abilities, I think the credit is with him because he had those qualities. I think obviously positioning players and insisting on certain qualities can really impact and maximise the resources of the team. It's something that we made him aware of, basically. And then as well, his mindset. I mean, he's a player who is right attacking and left attacking in different roles as well. And then as a nine, then he has that. He always had that intuition, that quality to finish actions, especially one touch inside the box. And now he's doing it very regularly, and I think he's enjoying it. And I think Mikel Merino is going to start tomorrow. Do you know what? He may even start up front. He might start in place of Victor Gyökeres. Don't be surprised if he does. On learning what other coaches in other sports, in learning from other coaches in other sports, yes, a lot of things. From handball, from rugby, from tennis, from ice hockey, it's a lot. And not only from the sport, but the sport played in different countries. So it's not the same rugby here as rugby in Australia. And it's something that fascinates me. It's not only about the sport, it's about the culture, about managing. They've been in the job for one season or 13 seasons. It's a completely different job. So it's always that willingness to learn, that curiosity to learn. All right. On the importance of his relationship with the owners, it's very important because at the end, we have to share the vision and especially their ambition. And the ambition is very clear. We are here to win and to win major trophies. And every sign that they are giving us, every conversation, that's the main topic. And they are incredibly experienced in sport. They've won almost everything. And what we want to do is be here now. Okay. On Martin Odegaard's mental strength, I think he's in a really good place. Obviously disappointed how it happened. The good thing is that he does everything that he possibly can to prevent injuries. The injuries that he had are very, very difficult to prevent. So that's something that you have to take the weight off yourself, and that's it. Then he cannot afford to be in a different mindset. He's the captain. He needs to drive the standards. He needs to be the example. When you don't have an option, you are a dad. You have to look after your kids. You have to be there. You are good. You are tired. You have to be there. That's his responsibility in a team. Yeah, I mean, I did see him with the Norway squad video on the channel. Obviously, Norway have all but confirmed their spot in the World Cup. I think they just need to avoid defeat against Italy to do so. So, but he was injured, but he was actually with the squad. People like Haaland are close with him. Norway have got a good team. So I think he's going to have that similar kind of effect on this squad here where, yeah, we know he's out for the next month or two, but he'll be in and around the squad in the changing room, in the stadium with the team, showing his support, giving his experience out, talking to the young players. So he's got a role, just not playing one for now. On having the squad to deal with injuries, yes, for sure. But that doesn't mean that Martin isn't a key player for us. He's a very, very important player. We haven't had it almost since the start of the season, like other players, unfortunately. But we are coping because we have strength in the squad, because we have played with other qualities that they are still performing really well. And that's what we have to do, but make sure that we have him back because we will be a better team. Yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, just to hit home on that, Ethan Wanyeri now has a great opening to now show he's ready to take a spot in this starting lineup. He may not start tomorrow, but there are opportunities in the coming weeks. He needs to take his opportunity. So for me tomorrow, I do think he will go with Marino just because of his goal scoring form, his ability to kind of crash the box, join the centre forward, or he may start in the centre forward berth and Jokeres has been given a breather. But I feel like based on what he said, it sounds like Zubimendi is going to be given a rest. Declan Rice is going to be in the team, and then he'll have Marino and Eberechi Eze either side of him. Or he may start him up front, like I mentioned. But one thing's for sure, Martin Odegaard gives an opportunity for others, such as Wanyeri. On being labelled as favourites, I don't know. Then we have to ask how accurate it was, the one 4 weeks ago or 8 weeks ago. So we don't know. I'm sure a result will change that in an even better percentage for us. Or worse, depending on what happens. Let's focus on what we can control. Yeah, so he's alluding to the fact that if we beat Fulham and Liverpool lose to, let's say, Manchester United on Sunday, or Man City drop points at home to Everton, it will change in our favourites. We'll be even more favourable to lift the title. But I think it's on the premise that we've had the toughest start to the season, Liverpool's poor form, Liverpool's upcoming fixtures, and the way we fared against those sides, all combined, has led us to be favourites. And I think we're quite favourable favourites. There's a quite gap between us and Liverpool. And I always felt we were favourites from the start of the season. I believed that our team was better than Liverpool's. I believe we are a better side than Liverpool. There's not much in it, but I do really believe that we can go all the way this season. On if it's possible to stay at the top of the league until the end of the season, as if he's going to answer that. It is possible. If we continue to win a lot of football matches, I'm sure we will be there. Put it this way, Mikel, if we win the rest of our games, we win the league. Bow!